You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think Michael's ever done drugs.
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know if anyone's ever offered him any.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like.
It's the Bulldog.
Slow moving. Inattentive. Dull. Constantly snacking. Shows a lack of motivation.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Rolling along here on a Friday afternoon. Thank you for hanging with us. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has been off for a bit here. He'll be back on Monday, as will I, Sal Capaccio, sitting in the chair normally occupied by Mike today for the full run. Glad to have him here as well. Bills play their preseason opener tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock at Highmark Stadium. First chance to see a lot of the new draft picks and, of course, some of the old standbys. Starters are expected to play with the exception of Josh Allen and, of course, guys who are hurt. So should be a fun day. Sal, and we spent some time already talking about the lay of the land on the defensive line. I think there's a lot to be excited about there with a lot of the new faces that are there, hopefully ready to make an impact.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see quite a bit of rotation with a lot of these guys. They're going to want to see some of these younger defensive linemen, and especially TJ Sanders, Deion Walker, Landon Jackson. I mean, you know, the philosophy already is rotate these guys, but they want to keep them fresh. They want to keep the veterans fresh throughout the year, but they got to see what they can do once everything goes live. I'm interested to see how Joey Bosa gets handled this preseason. I mean, there's got to be a right amount of – I think he's in that Milano white boat you talked about earlier, which is do you need – how many reps do you need for him to get ready? But at the same time – what's the risk involved?
Right. 803-0550 is going to be the phone number. We were counting on talking to Chris Trapasso here, but we're having some difficulty tracking him down. So in the interim, of course, Sal and I are just going to keep going on this preseason opener. And if you want to get in on the conversation, lines are open now for you at 803-0550. Are there players you are most excited to see in this game, whether you're going to the game or not? It is another opportunity. I know we did a lot of this last Friday, Sal, on the day of the return of the blue and red with the open practice at the stadium. But here we are, final preseason game. You know, everything's going to be like the last time around here. And so this is another opportunity for folks to get in the stadium that, I don't know, it's another shot at it being someone's last time in there again.
No doubt.
So any stadium conversation, memories and that kind of thing certainly would be welcomed as well.
Today I had to go to the stadium, to the current stadium, so I passed the new stadium. You see the glass coming in where you're going to be able to kind of look inside when it's all said and done. I think, right, I'm kind of envisioning what they have it looking like, the final product, and like you could see inside it, and it's starting to really come together. It's going to be really interesting, just like last week when I said this, for anybody coming to the stadium tomorrow, if you haven't been there in a while, to see the new stadium.
Right.
To see what it's like. And it's just massive sitting. I was at the, I actually stopped at the Bills store today to pick up a couple things. And a gentleman stopped me. And he said, holy cow, like that! I can't imagine what that's like inside. Have you been there? I said, I have been once. It's been several months. Mm-hmm. I haven't done any other media tours since then. He said, I can't imagine. He said, it's so massive from outside. Because if you're standing on Abbott Road and you look at the current stadium, you only see the upper deck. You don't see the bowl. Contrast that with what you see across the street. It's everything coming out of the ground. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think we talked. I think I know I mentioned it last week. I'm not sure if it was with you or not. But coming down, like the 219 from out south, like out Boston, Colden, there's a moment where if you get on like the Rice Road entrance onto the 219 heading north, where you crest a hill and start going down, and the stadium is sitting there, and it looks like something out of Star Wars. Like it's just such a massive, massive structure sitting out there. So, yeah, I mean, that's I'll bet a lot of folks don't drive by there all the time. They'll be coming into town maybe for this game, certainly once the regular season gets here, and there's a lot certainly to be excited about there. So we've talked about the defensive line somewhat extensively already here today. What else out there, like position battle-wise? I mean, unfortunately, the Max Harrison injury has taken us out of really eyeballing the battle at corner two. The battle at corner two is by default going to Tre'Davious White. Not that he wasn't going to win the job anyway, perhaps, but I think you do have an opportunity to see other position battles and other guys that are trying to lock down roster spots here, even if it's just depth. And I think receiver is a position that, you know, I know we talk about it a lot. And, you know, the top end of it, I think, is pretty stable and set. But what are they doing with the last, I don't know, spot or two? How many will they keep? What sorts of skill sets, body types? Like, what sort of guys might they be looking for there?
Yeah, I think anything's on the table there. I still think Elijah Moore probably is a guy you're looking at to make the team, but who knows? I really like Christian Wilkerson and what he's put together. Tyrell Shavers is always in that mix. We know that Khalil Shakir is not going to play. Curtis Samuel's not going to play. That opens the door for some of these guys to get a little extra opportunity. I'm excited to see and interested to see Joshua Palmer's rapport with Josh Allen.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. All right, we have we did it. We found him. Chris Trapasso is now with us here on the Wester Hotline. Chris recently departed from CBS Sports. We were sad to hear that news. He's out on the mean streets of the Substack world, and hopefully he's going to find a home for his excellent work very soon. If there's any justice in the world, that'll happen, I think, relatively soon for Chris. It's been a while, bud. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for that plug, Bulldog, and Sal, good to hear from both of you guys. Sorry I was a little late, but I'm excited to talk a Bills actual football game that's happening tomorrow.
Right. Where is your attention? Sal and I spent, I don't know, about 20 minutes at the open of the show today just thinking about all the new bodies and faces and names on the defensive line specifically here. I mean, you've got free agents in Bosa and Ogunjobi. You've got draft picks in Deion Walker and TJ Sanders and Landon Jackson. There's a lot going on up there.
Yeah, definitely. I would say that's probably where my attention will be first, but to not belabor that point, I think that the nuggets that Sal was just mentioning about the wide receivers, like I want to see Christian Wilkerson like play a lot tomorrow and make a lot of plays, because everything that I've heard from Sal and all the other reporters that have been in training camp, he's been a very steady player on the outside. Tyrell Shavers as well. So although we're not really thinking of those two as being even like backup players necessarily, or we weren't thinking of that going into training camp, if they have good preseasons, those are players that have proven that they can make some plays in the NFL. Not a lot, but they've been in the NFL. They've made plays. They're bigger bodies. Christian Wilkerson tested really well just a few years ago coming into the league. So definitely D-line, and definitely those tertiary options at the wide receiver spot.
6'1", 214 for Christian Wilkerson. He has been in the league a few years. He actually has spent a couple years with the Patriots, a couple years in Las Vegas with the Raiders. So, yeah, this is a guy that it's not like you're just bringing in. This isn't just an undrafted free agent this year. The Bills are giving a shot. I mean, he's been in this league a little bit. He has a grown man's body. And I think the Bills need a little bit more physicality out of that wide receiver core and that type of body. And, look, maybe you get some of that from Keon Coleman this year, Chris. But they do need to kind of find someone, I think, to be able to handle a little bit more of the rigors, because it seems like they have a few guys that are a little bit on the smaller side.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I think that's been a big reason, at least at the start, for why Tyrell Shavers was able to stick onto this roster. And the last couple of training camps and preseasons, he's made some plays. We obviously know he caught the screen and went for six last year late in the regular season. But I think the Bills do really want to have a diverse physical profile in their wide receiver group. And I think from the outside, it's easy to say, oh, they have all these slot receivers and Curtis Samuel's kind of redundant with Khalil Shakir, and so is Elijah Moore. To have that 6'1", 214, like you mentioned, that's a physical presence, and that's why they've talked about that they kind of gravitated toward Keon Coleman in the top of the second round in last year's draft. So I think it is important to be able to throw a lot of different styles and body types at a lot of other corners, defensive backs, even as early as the preseason. So defensive line and the other wide receivers, even if they're not going to catch a ton of passes from Josh Allen in this preseason, I'm really looking forward to watching them.
You know, Chris, I've wondered since Elijah Moore got here whether he and Curtis Samuel could both be on the team. Will they both make the 53? Now, Samuel's dinged up again here, you know, earlier than it happened last summer. I don't think Moore has had necessarily a great camp or anything. I feel like I've had a few moments here and there, but nothing that consistent, I guess I would say. I wonder, do you think there's room for both of them on this team? I know Samuel's dead money, if you release him, could be a problem. I think a trade is a different story. I think they could save some money if they could just offload him for, you know, whatever, a seventh round pick or something. But, you know, you got to find a team that wants to take that contract. Maybe that's tricky. What do you think about both of them making the 53?
I would be surprised. I feel like whoever doesn't win that role, whatever you want to call that, wide receiver three or four, or the gadget guy in the slot, I think the other one will ultimately either be traded or just cut. I think it's there. I mean, we were just talking about the redundancy at that spot when you're looking at playing in the slot, size-wise, speed. I would be surprised at this point if Curtis Samuel just is on the roster, makes the 53-man right away because of the injuries that he had last year. Now you're mentioning he's injured again. Now, certainly, Elijah Moore has to have a good preseason, and I do think we've seen from Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott that they're not opposed to a Christian Wilkerson or a Tyrell Shavers jumping them, usurping them on the depth chart and ultimately earning that spot before either of those two veterans. But I would be very surprised if both Curtis Samuel and Elijah Moore are on this roster in September.
Another guy that's interesting lately, I'll just throw his name out there, Laviska Shenault. He did miss a little bit early on, but I'm just going to tell you guys, and you know how this works, Chris. You've been out of practices enough in your life. I just thought it was notable to me the other day that during individual warm-ups, whenever Shenault was up, Josh Allen threw him the ball. Ooh. I noticed it. And that just is something that caught my eye. Even it just seemed like it wasn't just happenstance, I don't think. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't just because of the numbers. But I noticed in this one day I was watching, whenever it was Shenault, Josh Allen took the ball and he threw him the ball. And I know tomorrow he's going to get a shot as a kick returner. He's not really a punt returner. That's Brandon Codrington. I think Brandon Codrington's safe there, but who knows? You never know how things shake out. I just want to keep his name a little alive here, guys, if I can.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I'm going to go back and kind of put my draft hat on. I absolutely loved him coming out of Colorado, and I was not the only one. And if we're kind of talking about, you know, getting really granular here about different body types at wide receiver, Shenault is different from any other wide receiver on the roster in that he gives you, when healthy, and that's been the big sticking point with him, he's not been able to stay healthy in his career. When healthy, he is 6'1", 220, 225 pounds, and has the best contact balance on the team. Like he will, guys will bounce off him routinely. If you look early in his career, in Jacksonville, he was not getting high volume of catches and was not catching passes 15, 20 yards down the field. But talk about that little quick throw when Josh Allen sees that the defense is coming with an all-out blitz. He's the type of player, along with Khalil Shakir, that the Bills are going to want to throw the football to. So, yes, he's certainly made his mark as a kick returner, and he had, I think, two kick return touchdowns last year. But he's interesting, certainly, to watch in this preseason because yards after the catch skill that really it finally got accentuated in this Bills offense last season, mostly due to Khalil Shakir, that is the specialty with Shenault.
How common is it for a guy who's got the return ability that Chenault has with kickoff returns to not also be a punt returner? I know he's been getting some practice at it, but he does not have a single punt return to his credit since he's been in the NFL. And I don't even know if he did much of it at all in college, maybe a bit. I just feel like that's a missed opportunity for a guy that's trying to find a way to stay in the league. Like, how is he not? Maybe he has been and he just can't do it. I don't know. But that's a guy that, to me, from like January through April, should be just fielding punts out of a jugs machine. Like, just like, I can do this. I can do both jobs. Because then you'd have, I think, a competition maybe between he and Codrington for the lead return job on this team. But without it, I don't know that you can keep him just because he might be good at kick returns.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Like, I don't know why that would be the case. And I don't remember at Colorado that he was like a return specialist.
He never returned a punt at Colorado. However, I'm going to give you a really interesting oddity I just found. You ready? Okay, he has zero punt returns, but he has a 55-yard punt return TD. And I'm going to find out why this is. But other than that, literally in 2017, 2018, 2019, returns 0-0-0, but under yards, 55 and one touchdown.
I wonder if it was like a handoff, like reverse. He didn't feel the punt,
he
got it on a
pitch. But he has never returned a punt in college or the NFL.
Well, there is a lot to his game and his overall profile to Cordarrelle Patterson. When Patterson came out of Tennessee, it was like, is this guy really a receiver? He can't really run routes, but he is insane after the catch. That was Chenault, and he was injured during the pre-draft process. Otherwise, he probably would have been a first-round pick. The Jaguars picked him in the second round. And again, look at his stats early on, especially his advanced metrics, through the roof with the missed tackles forced. So he's someone, again, that I think has not ever been able to refine his game as a route runner, but he can really be a dynamic, maybe just a kick returner. I'm not sure why not a punt returner, but definitely another fun name down the depth chart that will be fascinating to watch this August.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought him up, because that is a guy, I don't think I've said his name once since July.
Right.
I think about all these other guys at that position and the battle between like Moore and Samuel, like we already talked about, and then you get to Virgil and this Wilkerson, and even KJ Hamler's on Hard Knocks. You're like, oh yeah, KJ Hamler's on this team. Chenault is like, I just don't even ever think about him being here.
And I will tell you, we could have a different conversation tomorrow based on if he does anything. If he pops one tomorrow, kick returning, then I think you're starting to talk about that. But if he does nothing of consequence, then we're back to not knowing that. All right, here it is. 2017, LaVisca Chenault recovered the fumble of a teammate and brought it back 55 yards on a punt play. That was it.
He can do stuff like that. He is dynamic with the ball in his hand. That's a good stat oddity, too. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Somebody, I mentioned him. I have said his name because earlier this week, somebody tweeted at me because I made the same point about how he doesn't return punts and he's never done it even in college. And somebody said he has a return touchdown from college, and I thought, well, just one punt return? That's weird, but there it is. There's that weird play. Yep. Chris Trapasso on the Western Hotline with us.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Here on WGR, previewing tomorrow's preseason opener. Chris, what about the top end of the receiving core here? We know Shakir is week to week, and hopefully he's back in plenty of time to get ramped up and ready to go for the opener. But Josh Palmer as a free agent ad, Keon Coleman going into year two. I asked Sal about Coleman and what he notices, if anything, different from year one to year two, watching him practice, and the word Sal used was intentional, if I remember correctly. From last week. How about you on Palmer and Coleman, respectively?
Yeah, I think Palmer was such a low-key ad for this team that he is established in this league as a separator against man. All the advanced metrics say that. And even though he's not a 4-3 guy, he ran 4.50 coming out of Tennessee. He's a downfield weapon. Like, he's proven to be a big play specialist as well. So for the Bills to add that without, you know, breaking the bank at wide receiver, I don't really have any. I mean, of course, he needs to gain that rapport with Josh Allen, but I'm not concerned about him, you know, not producing in this offense because they have so many options underneath and at the intermediate level. The thing with Coleman that I wonder, because I was not out at camp, and maybe Sal's like the perfect person to ask this, how much have they utilized him out of the slot? Or are we thinking he's just like they're going to stick to him being on the outside, although I do think the word intentional is probably perfect from everything that I had just seen through social media with camp, that he's looked more confident in going up and catching those back shoulders and making plays in contested catch situations. I do still think, though, if he's just on the outside against the longer, more athletic corners, he's going to have problems separating when the Bills do see man coverage this season.
So a couple things here. Number one, intentional for me, the way I used it and what I meant by it, Chris, was the way he runs his routes. He's okay. A little bit more slowing down at the top, sinking his hips, making sure he's sticking his foot in the ground, not just trying to beat somebody because he's a better athlete or bigger. You know what I mean? Like, okay, hey, I can just get to a spot. I need to have a nuance in my route. I need to be able to beat these longer corners, these faster corners. How do you do that? I think it comes with maturity. It comes with reps. He came in the league at 20, 21 years old, young guy. I think he has to learn, you know, that these are the best athletes in the world I'm going against. So to me, when I say intentional, I mean, I think he's more aware of how he has to go about his business.
Setting up
people, yeah. Getting off the line, getting to the top of the route. There was a clip I put out there once early on in camp. He caught it from a one-on-one. It was a warm-up drill, I should say. He caught an in route, a dig from Josh Allen, and literally immediately put his foot in the ground and went uphill instead of just staying on his path. That's like, that's intentional to me. He knows he's got to get upfield quickly because he's good with the ball in his hands. This is one of those other questions I can't truly answer because there's just certain things we aren't allowed to kind of report on and where are, you know what I mean? So formations, I can't really give you anything on that.
Right.
But yeah, so, I mean, we'll see that maybe in the preseason.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I'm curious with Shakir out, whether he gets a little mix in there. Yeah. And there has been talk. I know, you know, it's the off season. It's the time of the year where offense coordinators talk about how their running back is really more of a slot receiver and all kinds of things that never really come to fruition. But there was more talk this off season about using Shakir in some different ways. So if you want to use Shakir in some different ways, maybe by virtue of that, if that ends up being the case and not just something to say to get through a news conference for Joe Brady, then maybe that's an opportunity for he and Coleman to maybe, you know, switch roles here and there, and maybe they can find something that really works.
100%, and that's a good point, and I want to put a bow on this specific conversation by saying I've been guilty of this. I feel like I've been on this show with you, Bulldog, before, where I think we can get a little bit too entrapped about, hey, is he an outside receiver? Is he in the slot? Joe Brady uses stacked formations. He uses motion. And part of the reason why I loved Shakir coming out of Boise State, he won on the perimeter and in the slot. They don't really have just like a Cole Beasley that is just has to be in the slot 95% of the time. And I think that's been on purpose, that they've been intentional with that, that they want guys that can be closer to the line of scrimmage, they can be near the sideline, they are good in a lot of different roles and a lot of different pre-snap alignments. So Keon Coleman could get a little bit more space, technically being on the outside, but with tighter splits actually have more room to operate.
We went long here on receivers. I opened up talking about the defensive line. Let's get your thoughts on at least the three draft picks here in order. TJ Sanders from the second round, Landon Jackson from the third round, and then the fourth rounder, defensive tackle again in Deion Walker. First up, Sanders. I know we did this back, you know, after the draft, Chris, after they made the picks and everything, but what is that player, Sanders? What's his calling card? Like, what are we looking at with him?
I think we're looking at with Sanders, and this is just from going off watching all of his film the last 2 years at South Carolina, a player who comes into the league with similar athletic, explosive traits to Ed Oliver, but is more polished than Oliver was. And it took a few years. We saw some splash plays here and there from Oliver, but it took a few seasons for him to really come into his own as an interior pass rusher. So he's the one that I probably of the entire draft class feel the least concern about. I'm very confident in him becoming a quality, like, three down player that specializes as a pass rusher. Landon Jackson, to me, I think could take maybe a half a year to a full year to really come into his own. Mm-hmm. And Deion Walker is kind of the enigma in that in 2023, I thought he was the next Dexter Lawrence, and then he had all the back injuries last season and wasn't bad, was not like, oh my God, this guy isn't draftable, but was not quite as effective, saw a lot more double teams. He's really the X factor that could really take this defensive line to the next level pretty early on, even though he's only 21 years old, because he did it at an early stage of his career at Kentucky.
Where are we finding your work currently, Chris?
On Substack, Trap Sheet is the name that I came up with. I'm posting like two or three articles per week. I'll obviously have a lot more, you know, as we start to see some games here, covering the entire NFL, trying to just give outside the box analysis and opinions, maybe some new stats here or there on the entire NFL.
Resin, right? Resin.
And Resin, that's my draft algorithm that I'll reference a lot, and then hopefully during the 2026 draft process can actually explain that a little bit better. But it's kind of like the numbers side of the draft process that I lean on.
All right, Chris. Thank you so much for the time. Have yourself a great summer, and I'm sure we'll be tracking you down once we get up and running in the season.
Bulldog Sale, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, that is Chris Trapasso, longtime NFL draft analyst and player profiler on the Western Hotline with us as the Bills get ready to play preseason game number one. All right. It's time, open season, open lines, 803-0550. If you're out there, want to get in on anything that we've talked about so far here from a gambling perspective with our buddy Sammy P or with Chris Trapasso, looking at the roster and different battles, the receivers, the defensive line, other positions as well, feel free, really. Anything goes with preseason game number one on deck tomorrow afternoon from Highmark Stadium. Again, 803-0550 is the number. Sal is in for Mike along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.